This hymn was written by a dear sister in Scandinavia, the country of Sweden. And she'd written hymns for many years of worshiping the Lord. And then one time, her father, who was a pastor, they were sailing on a ship from one part of Sweden to another. In the middle of that venture, the ship lurched to the right significantly, and her father fell overboard. And from that moment on, the day-by-dayness of the Christian life, of how the Lord could meet us every moment, became more and more precious to this dear one. Before, she loved the Lord in a great way. But then, after the tragedy, in a fresh way, she began to appreciate each moment, not only with the Lord, but with those that she loved. She turned, as many have, a tragedy into a triumph. And we thank the Lord, even as we were shared in the table this morning. Some could look at that as a tragedy of Calvary. But we today have celebrated it as a triumph. And for that, we're eternally thankful. Okay. I'd like for us to turn this morning to Psalm 90. This is one of the psalms that's not written by David, but written by Moses. Moses wrote this when he was pretty advanced in years. There's a couple of verses in here I'd like for us to consider this morning. It's in Psalm 90. We'll read verses 12 through 14. Moses, in his prayer, says, as he prays to the Lord, "Teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorrow or be merciful for thy servants. O satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for the privilege we've had to gather around your table. Lord, we thank you, as our brother opened with Galatians, Lord, it brings us back to that focus, Lord, of how you have loved us with such an everlasting love, and you have died for us. Your love for the Father, your love for the church, your love for mankind compelled you. And Lord, we thank you that as we continue in your presence, Lord, that same love, that same power, that same victory is with us. And Lord, by faith, we want to enter into all of the provision that there is in Christ Jesus. Speaking, hearing, Lord, allowing your word to have a liberty within our hearts today. Lord, we want to put aside things that would distract us. We want to turn unto you, Lord. Lord, with very listening ears and open hearts. In your precious name, amen. I think in the recent months we've all realized, and it's been said several times, how the Lord has been speaking to us in, I think, a very specific and a very special way. If we reflect back on some of the things the Lord shared, from having that firm foundation in Christ, as one's been sharing on the gospel, seeing the fullness of that gospel, seeing in that gospel there's justification, there's sanctification, realizing how the Lord's life, the call upon us in this matter of consecration, in this matter of repentance, in this matter of the narrow gate, testing of discipleship. Even when one was here that was just visiting, he shares on the testimony of Isaiah, which brought us back to the Lord. And then we've heard of what's our response to God's call. And as all of these, as the Lord has been sharing with us, I think even some of us who are pretty dull of hearing, have said, Lord, you're trying to get us back to some of the simplicity of this Christian life. You're trying to get us back to this foundational, fundamental, the essential things within this Christian life. And we've all recognized that. And the question we have, which is just as important as we hear the Lord's teaching, is, how do we enter into all the reality of it? We know we're not just here to learn and hear teaching related to all of these very essential things. As we've heard, we're not here just to learn about what sanctification or consecration is. But the key is, how does that then impact our life? How does it become real within our lives, and how does it get worked out individually and together? Without that, it's all in vain. It's the vanity of vanities. And it's simply knowledge that's puffing us up. Well, brothers and sisters, we know that the Lord has us all in the school of Christ. And within this school, within His curriculum, where He teaches us and trains us, He has a certain training cycle that He uses whenever He wants to bring us into something new. And really, all of these are allowing us to experience more and more simply of the riches of Himself, of seeing all that He has done for us, seeing Him as our justification, seeing Him as that narrow gate, seeing Him as our sanctification, seeing Him as the one who has called us and drawn us to Himself. And the Lord in this curriculum, as He wants us to learn more of Christ, He has this, what I call a training cycle for teaching us and training us. And what is this cycle that He brings us to? And this is really where this song touch has been on my heart recently. The cycle, the training cycle of the Lord is a daily cycle. Day by day, the Lord, as He does His work, as He desires to do His work within us, trains us daily. He gives us one day at a time. I remember, many of us remember, Brother Flack from England. He visited years ago. I think he's 96 or 90. He was the brother, he has another twin brother. There was the article out there. And I remember one time he was staying at our house, and he got up in the morning, and we asked him to say the blessing for breakfast. And he said, "Lord, thank You for lending me another day." It's all of grace. Every day He lends us, He gives us another day that we can learn of Him. And as we was going to look today, really throughout the Scriptures, at how the Lord works day by day. And if really the burden on my heart this morning is not, we'll touch on some things, but it's really not to say, what should our daily living be? This is not a to-do list. Because really, I think if we all raised our hands, if I did a little test, we could come up with what we should do every day as a believer. We know we should pray, read the Word, have our quiet time of worship, serve one another, commune with the Lord. So we can kind of agree on that. But why don't we do it? Why is that such a battle? Do we really? So what's on my heart is somehow we could see in a fresh way the necessity of this daily life. If we desire to go on with the Lord in these days, if we desire to enter into the reality of all that He's done for us, may the Lord in a fresh way touch us to see the necessity of a daily life with Him. Now some will say, "Mac, well really it's not supposed to be daily, it's supposed to be continual." And that's true. But I really think when the Scriptures are speaking of continual, what they're speaking of is really our position with Him. As He saved us, we know our position with Him, where He's always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Even if we go make our bed in hell, He says, "There, I'm there." We could flee to the forest sea, He says, "I'm there." But day by day is how He desires to work out the reality of all that He has given us by our position in Christ. When we have this position in Christ, when we're in Christ, we have been blessed with these unsearchable riches. I think we all confess, not many of us have entered into a whole lot of those. The way He wants us to enter into those more and more is simply day by day walking with Him and learning of Him. And He'll arrange each day for us that we can really see this. This is why I think as we look at this prayer of Moses, Moses came in verse 11, he says, "Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us that our days would count for You." And oftentimes I think about that. I said, "Lord, many of my days really count for you? I'm glad I don't see, and I'm glad he's gracious and merciful. because a lot of times I don't know how many days I would be counting. But I thank the Lord for his grace, and I thank him for the blood of the Lamb. And we're talking about this daily living. Now, we're not talking about us living a sinless life. Don't anybody come under condemnation. But what we're talking about is day by day as we sin, which we're going to do. It's not a question of if we sin, but just when. And then we know the blood of the Lamb. We know of repentance, as our brother has shared on also. And that the essentialness of today is that day of repentance, that we come into that. And not to put things off, but today we could enter in. The Lord has arranged this. And this is what Moses is praying. Lord, teach me to number my days. As we wake up in the morning, are we conscious of that? Lord, I want this day to be numbered. I want it to be counted for you. Why? That we could present to him a heart of wisdom. And we know that Christ has been made unto us wisdom. Really, and speaking of the heart, it's speaking of an inward character, his nature, being formed within us, that we could present that to him. And that not only to him, but ones would see us as a walking testimony of the one who has loved us and died for us. We'll share later on the early church. But what was the testimony in the early church? Was the ones around them saw them walking, they saw Christ day by day. The tragedy in Christianity today is the world looks upon us, they don't see Christ day by day. They see Christ maybe, they see religious celebrations on Sundays, they see other days, but do they see Christ, and do our co-workers, do our neighbors see Christ being lived out within us day by day? Now most of us, we don't like this. Just naturally, we don't like daily living. The daily, it's routine. It's mundane. It's insignificant. It's boring. Most of us in the morning, we can wake up. We can go through that routine in an unconscious way. We wake up about halfway after we're shaving. We're in the shower. Sometimes we're just going through a routine. But the Lord is wanting us to wake up and not despise the significance. Now, why don't we enter into this, the dailiness of what he has? And I think one of the reasons that we don't enter into it is because today we want everything instant. We want it done just like this. We want instant Christianity. We don't want to go through the process. The Lord has a process for us to go through, that Christ be formed within us. We'll touch more on that later. But he's really today, our desire that we could see this necessity of giving ourselves to him so that he can work through us, that he can work in us, and that day by day we would have this desire for him to work. Most of y'all know I'm a baseball fan, and one of the greatest lessons I've learned in baseball, believe it or not, he's not even a New York Yankee. See, I'm broad-minded. But he was a Baltimore Oriole, a guy named Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken, for those of you that don't know baseball, set the record for playing the most consecutive games, over 2,100 games, over 14 years, without missing a game. Day by day, he was playing out there. And they asked him, what was his secret? And how were you able to maintain this? And he said, I practiced every day. And I said, oh, okay. But then he didn't stop. He said, I practiced the right way. I practiced the right way. Now, any of us that have ever practiced anything, I don't care if it's from guitar, piano, figure skating, any sport, we know the difference between practicing and practicing the right way. We can go through the outward motions of practicing something. And we'll comply. We can even go through the outward motions of practicing this Christian life. We can outwardly get our Bible up. Okay, did my reading. It was like we have a little checklist. But is that the right way? The right way is this way of life that he's calling us to enter into. Cal Ripken practiced the right way because his heart was in it. And he had a desire. Moses had this heart's desire. Why? because he saw him who was invisible. Moses saw one who was invisible, and it spurred him on. Brothers and sisters, if we can see this one who is invisible, if we can see Christ in a fresh way, in the essentialness of it, there's this motivation to come into this daily life with him. And I just, again, it's not just going through the outward ritualistic motions of this, of complying, but it's, that's why I want to use the word daily life. It's a life with him. Going, allowing, and a life comes from within our hearts that it could flow out. Now, the way I'd like for us to consider this today is I'm simply going to go through the scriptures. We're going to go sequentially through and just see at different points in times how significant this issue of daily life is to the Lord, not only to us, but to the way he works. And one of my prayers is, and I appreciated what Jim shared the other week, was when anyone shares, you never share on the completeness. We just touch on different things. And the desire is that as we are daily in the Word in the future, that the Lord could even open to us more and more. That all of a sudden, as we look through Scripture, we read these little phrases day by day, daily. They become so common to us, we just slough them off. We just go right over them. But with the Holy Spirit, quicken it to us in a way that we could see the Lord's call on us to live day by day, daily with him and the preciousness of it. So let's turn all the way back to Genesis 1. In this, and as we look through the scripture, we want to see how the Lord works. He always works and how he continues to work. So let's look at Genesis 1. We won't read the whole chapter, but let's look at verses 3 through 5. He says, "And then God said," Genesis 1:3, "God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was one day." God had a work to do on that day, and he did it. And then he had a work to do on that second day, and he did that. He did that same. He had a work to do on a third day, and a fourth day, a fifth and sixth day. He did that work, and then his work was completed. He chose to show us in this, to me, what it's saying is that God desires within our lives. He has a work each day that he wants to do it. And as we are allowing the Holy Spirit within us to do that work, Christ is formed within us. Now let me ask a question. With these, the 6 days when the Lord did this work, could he have done it in one day? I think he could have. He's powerful. There's no limitation on God. If he had wanted to do this, all these 6 in one day, he could have done it just like that. I'm not going to, don't want to get distracted by whether you believe there's this gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 and all that. But we look at it the 6 days when he worked. That's why I intentionally haven't used the word created, because I don't want to get into all that discussion. But it says here that he had one day he did this, and one day he did that. And so, but he could have done this 6 days' work in one day. But I think what he was showing us, and again, when we read the scripture, when he said, why is the Lord doing it? What's he trying to show us? He's trying to show us that he desires, there's a day is special to him, and he's wanting to work. He has a day, and he has a work that he wants to do. And at the end of the day, he says, that's good. And that day counted. And brothers and sisters, in each one of our lives, he has a work he wants to do. And at the end of the day, we want to say, that's a good day. That day counted. How does the Lord measure our lives? It's interesting, again, as we stop, because so often as we stop and think, we think of years and months. But actually, if we look over in Genesis chapter 5. This is where we get into all the descendants of Adam. And again, so often we can read through these verses and they don't really hit us. The reality of what the Lord's saying doesn't hit us. But if we look at Genesis 5, look at verse 5. So it says, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Look at verse 8, speaking of Seth. All the days of Seth were 912. Verse 11, all the days of Enosh. Verse 14, all the days of Kenan. And we can continue throughout that chapter. The Lord looks at all the days of their life. And brothers and sisters, when He looks at us, He looks at all the days of our lives. And this is what it's made up of. I love the testimony at the end of David's life and Job's life. It says, and David, at the end of his life, David and Job, their lives were full of days. In the fullness of days, they died. And I'm so glad that it says that about David, because we know that he didn't live a perfect life. But he knew of the forgiveness of God in the blood of the Lamb. And those are redeemed days. Those days that we allow. That's why, again, the enemy, whenever we sin, the enemy loves to kick us out of the race and say, look, you're disqualified. But I thank the Lord for the redeeming blood of the Lamb, that a day that even we start in the flesh, a day where we sin horribly, like some of the things that David did, even though, by him taking the blood of the Lamb and allowing it to cleanse him from all of his sins and unrighteousness, that day was redeemed and counted for God. Man would say it's not, but God redeems it. Brothers and sisters, as we enter in, I appreciated our brother's burden for repentance. As we enter in to the spirit of repentance day by day, that's redeeming the time, redeeming that day for him. In chapter 6 here in Genesis, it speaks of Noah. And you know, again, at the end of Noah, at the end of his day, it says the days of Noah were 950. The days of Noah. Do you ever stop and think of the days of Noah? You talk about the routine and the mundane, the misunderstood, the laughed at, the mockery, all that he had to endure day by day building this ark. Yet, in that, he was faithful day by day. He got up. The Lord had a work for him to do each day. He got up. He went about what he was called to do. No matter ones were mocking him, no matter he was being misunderstood, whatever, the Lord had captured Noah, that Noah's days counted for him. And brothers and sisters, so often when we're faced with a time where we're going to be misunderstood, we can draw back. It's interesting how we measure days as compared to the Lord. We measure time and say, I had a pretty good week. And what does that mean? Well, maybe I had 3 or 4 good days and the others weren't so good. We love to average things out. Again, in baseball, I mean, if you go 1 for 3, get 3 hits out of 10, you're in the Hall of Fame. You're a famous baseball player. I mean, what if you live 3 days out of 10 for the Lord? But we lower this standard so much. I appreciated when Jim shared on the standard of the Lord. We lower that standard. We bring it down to ours. We make it so relative. And we try to average out. Oh, how was your week? Well, I made it Wednesday night, and it was a Friday night week. And we're measuring by some of the outward things. But the Lord is looking day by day, that it really would count for Him. And may we, in this day of relativity, not just live in the average, not live in such a way that we're counting and we're trying to figure it out, but do we simply present our hearts to Him each day as we come to Him? Again, we see a beautiful picture of this daily life as we see the people of Israel as they're in the wilderness. Turn over to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, and in this we'll see the manna, how the Lord provided manna for them every day. And then on Saturday He provided twice. If you look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven from you. The people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has with His people of Israel, He provided this bread from heaven for them every day. It was not only a provision, but it was also a test. And we've heard also how the Lord tests us so that the reality of things can come in. And it will show us what's of Him and what's not of Him. And we know how the people of Israel responded, that they started getting tired of this, doing this every day. They were complaining, and their rebellious nature manifested itself. They didn't pass the test. The Lord already knew them. Now again, let me ask the question. The Lord provided this bread every day. They went out to get it, and if they didn't get it, it was rotten. Okay. It didn't last from day to day, except on the sixth day. It would last for 2 days. Could the Lord have made bread that lasted for a week? Sure. It's a bread from... If He'd have wanted to provide for them for the whole week, He could have said, okay, here's your weekly manna. That's it. But no. He chose for this provision to be day by day. He has a provision for this day for us to feed upon and us to learn of Him. And then He has a provision for the next day. And then He has a provision for that day. And brothers and sisters, so often, I think this is one of the reasons that we have so many anemic Christians. Because so often we come on Sunday and we get some precious bread that the Lord feeds us with, and we try to live off that all week. And we're eating one meal a week. The Lord, He's not, and we end up being anemic Christians, and we wonder, why is our Christian life so weak? Well, but He's wanting us to feed upon Him day by day. Really, what we receive on Sunday is a supplement. A supplement to what the Lord has already spoken to us within our hearts day by day. And as we allow Him to do that, as we feed upon this bread of heaven day by day that He's given to us, there's that constant nourishment, that constant strengthening, and a constancy of allowing Him to show us more and more of Himself. Again, so often I find myself, recently the Lord has been saying, Mac, when you read through the Bible, stop and think about it. Because so often I just read through it, and all of a sudden you say, well, why did He provide the bread every day? He could have done it for the week, but no. He has a day. He provides that for us each day, and we enter into the fullness of it. Okay, later on when they were in the wilderness, they had the tabernacle. And we know how each day started with the tabernacle. Let's look over it. That was the tabernacle, when the people of Israel were camped, that was the very center of life. The center of their life was that tabernacle. Look over at Numbers 28. Numbers 28:3. And this is speaking of that daily continual burnt offering. We know that in the morning and in the evening, there was this burnt offering that was offered. If we look at Numbers 28:3. It says, and you shall say to them, this is the offering by fire which you shall offer to the Lord. 2 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, as a continual burnt offering every day. Brothers and sisters, what is this burnt offering? There's this offering in the morning. There's this offering in the evening. This is the offering that was presented before the Lord. That was a voluntary offering that was totally consumed. It had a sweet aroma, and there's a precious word associated with this offering, and it's the word acceptance. Because of this offering, the people of Israel were accepted before the Lord. And brothers and sisters, today, what this offering speaks to us is all the fullness of who Christ is and the fullness of what He's done. Out of a voluntary heart, He completely gave Himself to the Father and for us. And today we start each day fully accepted in the Beloved. Not because of what we've done, but of what He's done. Do we ever wake up in the mornings and we feel like, okay, today I've got to earn the Lord's acceptance? we're starting from the wrong place. It's recognizing that in Christ, because He has freely and so fully given Himself, as we recognize that, that we are accepted in Christ. We start the day from a place of acceptance. Every day we start a day of acceptance. And then, because of the mercy of that acceptance, what is our response? That response is giving ourselves to Him. It's responding. Just as the Lord gave Himself in this way, we give ourselves this to Him. And as we've shared on consecration. And again, consecration isn't giving ourselves to the Lord to do something for Him. Consecration is responding to Him so that He can work and live in us. Consecration is simply giving the Holy Spirit permission within us each day to do His work. And this is why it's so essential that when we start each day, we start first, we recognize our place in Christ, that wonderful acceptance we have in Him, that Lamb of God that's offered day by day. And then we can respond to that. If we do not see Christ as our burnt offering, if we don't see that all He has done, if we don't see our acceptance, if we don't see the mercies of God that it speaks of in Romans 12, we can never truly enter into that spirit of consecration. We'll always be striving to please God, to be accepted by Him. And as was shared this morning at the opening, there's nothing within us that's going to bring an acceptance in Him other than as we respond to what He's done. See what He has done, and then we respond to it. Then we enter in for that day. I love within this chapter also, there's a verse and there's another little phrase within this chapter. Because the chapter it goes through, it talks about not only the day by day, offer this continual burnt offering. It talks about the times when they gather on the Sabbath. It talks about times when they gather on the Passover. It talks about special times, the times, the Feast of Booths and Tabernacles and Trumpets and all of these different times. And it speaks of all the offerings that are given at that time. But then it also says, as you look in verse 10, for one of them as you gather on the Sabbath, it speaks of what you're supposed to offer. And then verse 10, in addition to the continual burnt offering. And then if you go down to verse 15, it's, as it spoke about the beginning of each month, in addition to the continual burnt offering. And then 16 starts talking about the Passover. And it talks in verse 24, in addition to the continual burnt offering. It's always this continual burnt offering, our continuing giving ourselves to Him and responding to Him. So often, I wonder at times on Sunday morning if our gatherings are maybe not what they should be. The level of life is not here because we haven't taken time individually that morning to spend time with the Lord and recognizing that burnt offering at home before we come here. This, as it says here, they met on the Sabbath. There was always that continual burnt offering. As we come to these meetings, whenever we come together, we come here, we go to a conference. Do we say, oh, okay, I don't have to do anything this morning, I just got to come and show up to the meeting. Oh, this conference, okay, Harvey Cedars or Richmond or wherever. Oh, I don't have to do anything, I've just got to get up and go to the first thing in the morning. And then we wonder maybe why I didn't get so much out of that conference. Well, maybe it's because we haven't had that continual burnt offering, the first thing within our own individual lives, that we come and prepare. May the Lord really show us how, whenever we gather. So often, I know in my life, I can plead guilty. We can come to the meeting, and then when we get to the meeting, I can begin preparing myself. Brothers and sisters, we come. The Lord's desire is that we come prepared. We enter into His courts with thanksgiving. It's not like we enter into His courts and then we give thanksgiving. He says we're entering in with thanksgiving. There's a preparing. There's a fullness within us that when we come, there's an overflow. There's that dynamic overflow of life. But we get distracted. We have other things go on. So we come, we prepare our hearts, and then there's kind of this lull, and it goes off. May the Lord just really touch us, even before we gather on Sunday conferences or whenever, to allow Him to prepare us. And that preparing is simply us giving ourselves to Him so that He can do what He desires within us. Now, one thing on this daily life, the Lord knows the essentialness of it, but do you know who also knows how vital it is? The enemy knows. If you look back at the stories of Joseph and Samson, they had two women in their life. And do you know what it talks about, Pharaoh's wife and Delilah? They were tempting them, trying to wear them out day by day. The enemy knows the vitalness of daily life. The enemy actually knows the vitalness of daily life more than we know it. And that's why he's always trying to kick us out of the race. But he comes in and he's persistent with Joseph and Samson. Thank the Lord, Joseph resisted and fled, even though she was tempting him day by day. Finally, Samson got worn out. He yielded to it. It's a contrast there, brothers and sisters, and how we want to be those that, as Joseph, we could flee from it. But be also, it's simply opening our eyes to be aware that the enemy is trying to daily knock us out of the race and to daily make each day not count for him. So may the Lord really just open us and help us to see that. Now again, there are many verses we could look at. And one of the places where we see daily or day by day mentioned so much is in the Psalms. You speak of worshiping and prayer, the daily fullness of that. But there's one psalm in particular I'd like for us to turn over to. It's in Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 19. And this is one of the precious promises that the Lord has given to us. Psalm 68, verse 19, David testifies, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation." Now, some translations, King James and Darby, read, "Blessed be the Lord who loadeth us with benefits." So you've got one that says loads us with benefits, and the other says daily bears our burdens. And at first, those can sound unrelated. But really, what's the greatest benefit he does? He bears our burdens. I mean, the benefit of the Lord is he's daily bearing our burden. He's borne our sin. He's borne our transgression. He's daily bearing us up and holding us. What a benefit. Daily do we know of all of he loads us with his benefits. And he bears all of our burdens. Do we know him as that daily burden bearer? Whenever we find ourselves in situations, do we see him as the precious one who cares for us so much? Not just for some of our burdens. He cares for all of them and desires that he would lift them off, that we would see all of the benefits and all of the blessed promises that we have in him. May he open our eyes. May the Lord just open our eyes again to see the showering of benefits. Now, oftentimes we feel like there's so many burdens every day. But the burdens that we have, again, are the opportunities that we have to learn him as our burden bearer. And as we were speaking of the psalm, at times to turn those tragedies into triumphs. If we just look at the burdens, they'll end up being tragedies in our life. But if we can see him as that burden bearer, it turns them into the triumph day by day. In the routine and the monotony of having to go through this, working for that boss, being in that school day by day, if we can see him as our burden bearer, loading us with those benefits, there's a newness of life. There's a triumph in there of knowing the victory of his life in every situation. And I thank the Lord for that. As we continue on, we can look into Proverbs. We know that Proverbs are the book of wisdom. And how it's really, the whole book of Proverbs is a book of daily life. There's one chapter in Proverbs, though, that it really personifies, we see wisdom personified. And it's chapter 8. We see it's wisdom speaking in chapter 8, verse 12. It says, I, wisdom. And we know how when we're speaking of I, wisdom, to us, Christ has been made unto us wisdom. For each day He's been made unto us wisdom. And look at the end of this proverb, verses 34 and 35. Look at the blessedness of that there is here. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at my doorpost. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Watching daily. Again, watching daily, waiting daily, listening daily for Christ to speak within us. We have wisdom personified living within us. And do we take the time, do we take those moments to allow Him to speak to us in those specific, particular situations? So that, because when we do, what's the blessing here? When we hear His voice, when we watch and wait, we find life. We don't find an answer. We find a person. We find life there to lead us through that particular situation. It's over and over when we see this. It's why we call it daily life. He wants us to daily know His life and all that we experience day by day so that we can enter in to a fuller way of knowing Him in that. How we love all of the Old Testament. We love all of the prophets there. But do you ever stop and think, I mean, how did these guys become prophets? Most of them, they were going about being faithful day by day. Elisha was out plowing. Amos was tending the sheep. And the Lord came in and spoke. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, you see the daily faithfulness of their lives. Jeremiah was able to testify in the midst of horrible situations, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It wasn't a cute... Jeremiah wasn't writing a poem. He wasn't trying to create a pretty chorus that we could sing. He was testifying of the reality of a life that he had touched when he allowed the Lord to come in and daily bear his burdens. He was a crying prophet. But yet in the midst of that crying and weeping over the condition of the Lord's people, he said, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, I pray within my own heart the reality of that could capture me in a fresh way. That I would know each morning the freshness of the mercies of the Lord and all that we have in His beloved Son and our precious Savior. Oh, we use the phrase, so great a salvation out of Hebrews. There is so great a salvation that we're called to enter into. And we enter into it day by day as we walk with Him. As our Lord was upon this earth walking, He was also encouraging us, Lord, to live this daily life. Look over at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Again, it's just picking a few verses here. But Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 is the Lord's call to each one of us. As He calls out to us. So we see in 9:23, He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. And we know this saving of life is speaking of that salvation of the soul. It's not speaking of losing or gaining our eternal salvation. But as we daily give ourselves to the Lord for Him to work within us, as we daily present ourselves as that living sacrifice, We're giving that Holy Spirit permission. And what will that entail? It will entail the wonderful thing that we all love to do, that I wake up every morning just rejoicing over. Lord, hallelujah, I have another day to take up the cross and follow you. I'm sorry, but that's not my attitude. But if we really saw the reality of the cross, the greatness of our salvation, the liberty that we can enter into, and the emancipation that is involved in daily taking up our cross, we would embrace it. The problem, the reason we shrink back daily from taking the cross is because we have such a small image. We see the negative side of the cross. We don't see the joy set before us. We don't see of the liberty and the freedom and the glory that there is in being set free from this bondage of self. But we like our little comfort area. We give a little bit. But the Lord in His mercy, He knows this is a process. The thing that speaks to me too about the daily walk is that this is a process of life. Again, just as we talked about in the old, if the Lord wanted to, He could have just snapped His fingers and changed all of us just like that. But there's a process He desires that we go through to learn of Him and that Christ be formed within us. There's that character. Paul testified of how He died daily. And he was rejoicing in that because he saw something. I desire to see that. I desire to see the emancipation, the full salvation. Some of it was prayed before the meeting when the brothers were there, that we could enter in to the fullness of our salvation and we would really know that. We're beggars, brothers and sisters, because we've tasted so little. But yet, our inheritance is so rich. And I just have a hunger, and I think we all do, to desire to enter into more of what He's done for us in setting us free. But praise the Lord, He has a process that He takes us through. And this is what I love about looking through the Scripture, because it shows everybody just as they are. We can, when the disciples, we have the four major ones. You had Peter and Andrew, James and John. They saw the Lord in John 1. It's the first time they met Him. They met the Lord there in John 1. They went to the wedding feast. They saw the Lord cleanse the temple. Wow, it was magnificent. But then for some reason, they're not with Him for a while. Then the Lord comes back in Matthew and Mark the second time. He sees them and He says, oh, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. This is the second time. He said, there's a few months difference there. The Scripture is silent on why they went away. Sees them in Matthew and Mark that second time. And then they're following Him for a while. They leave Him again. Then the Lord comes back the third time in Luke chapter 5. And see the story of Peter. They've been out fishing all night. And then He comes back and He says, go cast your net again. Even half-heartedly, Peter and they go out and they fish. And then they said from that point on, Peter saw. He says, Lord, I'm a sinner. Get away from me. Peter came to the end of himself as much at that point in his progress. But then from that point on, they followed Him daily. And so often, that's so encouraging to me, because even so often we can look at these disciples with rose-colored glasses and say, oh, here they go. But no, they saw, at first, I think some of them, they were walking with the Lord, and then they weren't. Okay, I can walk a few days with the Lord, I can walk a few days on my own. Walk a few days with the Lord, walk a few days on my own. Isn't that kind of how we do this Christian life sometimes? We walk a few days with the Lord, then we say, oh, I need a break. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do this on my own. This is my day. I need a special day. Look how hard I've worked all week. I need a special day. I'm entitled to this. This is my day. And I'm not saying the Lord never wants us to rest or enjoy things. Don't stretch that too far. But it's just that there's this process. And then the disciples came to see that they could not live a day without the Lord. And they abandoned everything and they followed Him. Brothers and sisters, and this is what the Lord's calling. In our process, we all are different stages and different walks. But the Lord is so patient with us. He meets us every morning right where we are. He calls us to daily follow Him. And this is what is so precious, Lord, brothers and sisters, because even on those days that we were not faithful, the very next morning, that Lamb of God is there. His mercies are new and fresh. And really, what He's desiring is when we haven't been faithful, if we get to the end of a day before we go to bed, and we've really screwed up, this is a wonderful opportunity to redeem that day. Because there was that Lamb that was offered in the morning and offered in the evening. And the Lamb, we can come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I lived my life today. I didn't really do much for You. I just enjoyed my own self. But Lord, we can come in a spirit of repentance and meet that Lamb and close out that day for Him and learn of Him. Learn of Him. That our, again, how it talks about not letting the sun go down on your anger. So much we let things linger on and don't deal with them. But that's why there's that Lamb at the end of the day, to settle up every day. That this day would count. We'd have this day that would measure, this day would count. And then we can go on in Him and know all of the fullness that we have. If you look on through Luke here, over in a couple chapters later, we have what usually gets called the Lord's Prayer. Again, it's praying for that daily bread. Again, it's not just for physical, but it's a spiritual and also a spiritual provision and also a spiritual dependence upon Him. Thank the Lord, through the Gospels, we see the daily life of the Lord and how He wants to be with us daily. And then we come over as we've been studying the book of Acts. What do we see as we see the birth of the church? As we see the birth of the church in Acts 1 and 2, how the Lord drew these ones together, what is that response in life? And let's look at Acts 2. And if we look down in Acts 2, verse 46 and 47, we will see life's response. We see how life just responds. And when life responds, you'll see more life. In Acts 2, 46, and it says, "And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." The response of life as the church was born, the life, ones were together sharing that life. And the more there was the sharing of this life, there was also the adding to of life. One of the tragedies within Christianity today is we see such a contrast between that and what we see in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, out of life the meetings came. Out of life there were ones gathering together. Today in Christianity we set up meetings and say, okay, you've got to fit in here, here, and here. But the Lord's life doesn't always fit into these neat little boxes. He wants His life to be expressed in a fullness. And this is, to me, one of the precious opportunities we have as an assembly as we pray on Wednesday nights. And we should all be there praying on Wednesday nights, that we would know the headship of Christ in a very living way in regard to our Friday night times and the groups. The life of Christ being expressed in these. We have an opportunity, brothers and sisters. So often, when we have to recognize opportunities the Lord gives us. This is an opportunity we have to really, in a very practical and real way, see the headship of Christ manifest within us as an assembly. We could talk all day about Christ being the head, but we have an opportunity now to humble ourselves before Him and say, Lord, as the head, how do You want us to continue on Friday nights and the groups as we relate together? More so than just Friday night. Well, how do You want Your life to be expressed within us? What a precious treasure we have. What a precious opportunity to learn of Him. And would that we would seize this opportunity as He teaches us and trains us every day. Again, not just so we have the teaching of the headship of Christ, but now He's given us an opportunity to be trained to learn of the headship of Christ in our daily lives together. And would we make the most of it? Would we make the most of it, brothers and sisters? These opportunities don't come along frequently, that frequently at times. but we have an opportunity to do this together. And would we really allow him to come in and meet us in this way? Paul, throughout his writings, he saw this necessity of daily life. He talked about dying daily. He testified of how even the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. Our inner man is being renewed day. That's that character of Christ being formed within us day by day. As we are offering ourselves to him, then day by day he wants to, as these old outer bodies are decaying, we get a loud amen on that. But it's the inner man is being strengthened and renewed. This is one of the things that is so precious. I'm very thankful we have several precious treasures that meet with us. They're a little bit older than the most of us. And their outer beings are decaying. But praise God, their inner man is living in a life and encouragement to us. I bless the Lord for the preciousness of fellowship with some of these older ones, because they have touched the Lord and we can learn from each other in the family of God. Do we recognize at times the treasures we have? Seeing that life, recognizing that life, drawing from that life and allowing them to encourage us on day by day. Paul, in most of his epistles, when he's speaking of this daily life, he really describes it more in the daily activity of life. Paul uses this word walk. Walk is simply the daily activity of life. As Enoch walked with God, day by day, we walk. As we go through the day, we're walking. Again, that routine, monotonous thing. But how do we walk? What is the Lord's call upon us to walk? As we've heard in Ephesians, it's to walk in a worthy manner. It's walking in Christ. I was stopped the other day. I was looking at this little word walk. And it's interesting just all the different ways it gets used in the New Testament. It talks about walking in newness of life, not after the flesh. Walking in love, walking by faith, walking in the Spirit, walking in light, walking wisely, walking to please Him. And it speaks of us together, walking in the same Spirit, in the same steps. You know, there's so many. This is just a few of them. This is the walking is allowing the Lord to meet us step by step as we give ourselves and He works throughout each day. If you look over in Ephesians chapter 5, at just one of these walkings. Again, Ephesians 4, verse 1, it's the call there to walk in a worthy manner. As you come to Ephesians 5, again, this is so precious. It says, in Ephesians 5, 15, it says, therefore be careful how you walk. And I think this is so critical for us in the hour that we're living in. That we be careful how we walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, redeeming the time or making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Walking wisely, walking in a way that Christ is our wisdom, day by day as we walk with Him, redeeming the time. As Moses said, Lord, I want each day to count for you. Lord, redeem this day for your namesake, that it would count for you. Making the most of the opportunities that we have. Why? That we'd understand what the will of the Lord is. We prayed in Romans 12, 1 and 2, as we consecrate, as we give ourselves to the Lord as that living sacrifice, He transforms our minds. That why? That we might know what the will of the Lord is. Brethren, we need to know the will of the Lord for this hour. There's a precious testimony of ones out of the nation of Israel. They're called the sons of Issachar. And in 1 Chronicles, I believe it's chapter 12, it says, the sons of Issachar, they understood the times and knew what Israel was supposed to do. And brothers and sisters, today we need that spirit of the sons of Issachar within our lives so that we as the people of God would understand the times that we're living in and that we would know what the church, what we as the people of God are to do. There are many things we can do. There are many things that are being done in the name of the Lord. But what is upon His heart and His will in this hour and this day that we're living in? And what is it that we could understand the times that we would redeem the times and know what the will of the Lord is for us. And we can be so thankful, brothers and sisters, that it's still called today. In the letter of Hebrews, Hebrews is a letter of exhortation. And in an exhortation, we know it's an encouragement, but it's also a warning. And the last verses I'd like for us to look at today is in Hebrews chapter 3. As we look at Hebrews chapter 3, this exhortation here, the warning is really in verse 12. It says, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart, falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me in the wilderness." Brothers and sisters, we encourage one another day by day. And the precious thing of that, how do we encourage one another? Encouraging one another to me is speaking of relatedness. If we never see each other, if we're never in fellowship with each other, if we're all living our own lives, doing our own thing, how can we encourage one another? Encourage one another within the very core and fiber of that speaks of relatedness. We're seeing Christ in one another. The brother has a word. Look what I read in the scripture. Let me share what I saw the Lord speaking to me today. The very essence of encouraging one another day by day is relationship and relatedness day by day. Not week by week, Sunday by Sunday, day by day. Encouraging one another. Now, obviously, we all can't encourage everybody, but the Lord brings ones across our path, that one, that two, or three, that we can encourage, that we can know and we can come alongside when they're going through a tough time, and we can walk with them day by day through some difficult times. Again, seize the opportunity, redeem the time, make the most of the opportunities we have to encourage one another. He says, as long as it is still called today. Praise God, brothers and sisters, it's still called today. And we have the opportunity. And it talks about in verse 14, because we have become partakers of Christ as we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. And I believe, brothers and sisters, this is why the Lord has been speaking to us on these essential, foundational, fundamental things that we could hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm to the end. He's clarifying for us, what is the beginning of this assurance? What is this that he's calling us to hold fast to? It's bringing us back to Christ. Today, and we have today. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day we learn of sanctification. Today is the day we experience justification. Today is the day we go through that narrow gate. Today is the day of consecration. Today is this day of responding to the call of God. Today is the day of testing. And we know it's His love that tests us, that we could know more of Him. We have this today, brothers and sisters, a wonderful opportunity for all of this teaching that we've been having to be made real within our lives, and that we could be holding fast. And because we know much of what the Lord has shared through His Word is being challenged in this day, through the spirit of relativity, through the spirit of liberality, through the spirit of, oh, you don't even need to be together. Everybody can go do your own thing. No, the Lord's heart is a heart of togetherness. He's calling us together. And if we think we can do our own thing, we're the most deceived. The Lord is calling us to walk through this life together, to encourage one another together, while it is still called today. And brothers and sisters, I know within my own mind, the reality of that hasn't hit me, and I'm praying it does. I still think I have tomorrow. The reality of today being the day of salvation, entering into the fullness of it, hasn't fully grasped my heart. I'm touching a little bit of it. But I still say, oh, I've still got some time. My master lingers. I'm the wicked servant. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to be that wicked servant. I want to serve Him today. And when He speaks to me today, when He's touching our hearts today, I want to respond today, that His salvation could get worked out within me. And I know it's your heart that it get worked out within each one of you. May the Lord awaken our hearts to see the necessity of this daily life with Him. It's not a routine to just tick off and say, okay, I read my Bible, I prayed, I did this. No. It's a vital link to the very life of Christ. And it's the very vital link within the house of God. Do we desire to go on and be a testimony unto Him? There's no way we can do it on a weekly basis. There's no way we can do it Sunday and Wednesday. We have to do it day by day. As we give ourselves to Him, and as those Corinthians did, they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to one another. And then the Lord can come in within our lives and strengthen us and encourage us that we can enter in to the beautiful and precious teachings that we have heard these last few months. The Lord in His mercy is calling us back to that simplicity and purity of our devotion to Him. And we have a challenge set before us. How are we going to respond? But I thank the Lord in His mercy. His mercies are new every morning. And as we're in this school of Christ, He says, okay, this day you have an opportunity to learn of me. I've got a curriculum for you. I've got a work that I want to do in your life today. Would you cooperate with me? And may we have hearts that are found cooperating with Him, that Christ can be formed within us, and that we would be those that would hasten His return. Let's pray. Lord, when we see how plainly You set before us throughout the Scripture this necessity of a daily life, well, we have to start from a place of repentance that we have been neglectful, that we have not responded to Your word. But Lord, we pray You would open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, to see You. Would You open Moses' eyes to see Him who was invisible? And he had that burden that each day would count for You. Lord, would we see You in a fresh way? Would we see the greatness of the salvation? Would we see Your heart and Your purpose? Lord, that we could daily be about Your business. Lord, we thank You for Your patience with us. But Lord, we know that the time, right now it's called today. But one day that comes to an end. Lord, as we have today, may we make the most of each opportunity. Lord, that You could come in and form the very life of Your Son within us, individually and together. In Your precious name, amen.